This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review Podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, March 18th, and we are inching closer to the 2009 NFL Draft. Eric Scalavino alongside me, Andy Hart.
I'm excited. I love the draft.
I love the draft, too. This is a great time of year to be a Patriots fan. You have free agent signings, trades, rumors of Julius Peppers and Jason Taylor. But that's for another show. We deal with that throughout the week. Right now, we're talking about prospects and the draft. We've gone through the quarterbacks. We've gone through the running backs. Now we've moved on to the defensive line, which on the surface wouldn't seem to be a huge need in New England, where you have not only Pro Bowl starters Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, and Ty Warren, who hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet, but is in that level.
Yeah, could be.
But backups recently re-signed Mike Wright. Jarvis Green has been in the system for quite a while now. So, you know, there's a lot there, but with Wilfork and Seymour coming into the last year of their contracts, you could be looking for some top-end talent or at the very least depth and developmental talent in this draft. So, you know, I wouldn't be stunned to see the Patriots delve into the defensive line a little bit at some point on draft weekend, Eric.
Yeah, I agree with you because it's unclear whether or not either of those guys will be back next year, depending on who gets the extension. I think if I had to go with my gut reaction is Wilfork will be the deal that's done first. If, you know, there's going to be a deal done in either of these two, they've already started talking with Wilfork. That's about all we know about that. Seymour, yeah, I think there's some question as to whether or not he'll be back after this season.
I
wouldn't be surprised at all if they, you know, not first or second round probably, but if they look to add a depth guy,
developmental,
you know, in mid or later rounds, I could see that happening.
And they've never found a backup for Wilfork. They've never
gotten a true nose tackle.
It's
right.
Wright can play in there, or Green has played in there, or Seymour.
Or they've
has
gone to
4-3
when he's
they've
not in there.
They've never found a, you know, 6'2" or 340-pound meatball to put in the middle of the defense there. You know, had Ethan Kelly for a little bit here. He went on to Cleveland, but they've never found that guy. So that might be a target. So let's delve right into it. We'll start with the defensive tackles and potential nose tackle types for the Patriots. And that's another aspect that comes into play here. We always talk about the position a guy plays at the next level coming from college.
Mm-hmm.
So many defensive linemen in college, you have to project, are they going to be 4-3 or 3-4 guys, one gap or two gap guys? Are they true tackles? Are they defensive end? Or are they a 3-4 end, which is sort of like a defensive tackle? There's so much of an analysis and really a projection as to what they're going to be. And
I think there were a lot of those guys in this mix.
No question. Certainly in the defensive ends, where you get into the whole tackle, end, outside linebacker, what is he, what can he play? But starting with the tackles, those New England fans, those Patriots fans that have ties here locally, Boston College, well represented on the tackle list, have two of the top four or five candidates here to be drafted. And top of the list would be B.J. Raji, 6'2", 334. According to my numbers, that's pre-combine, so he probably changed a bit. But he's a guy that's been compared to Vince Wilfork, and he's also a guy that, based on everything we've seen, even though he missed a year of football before last season, looks like he's going to be not only a top 10 pick, but potentially a top 5 pick. And what did you see from him when you watched the film?
Well, I think that's accurate because of, you know, what little footage we had of him was very good. Like Wilfork, he was very nimble for a big guy his size. I liked how he's able to shake blockers off right at the line of scrimmage. He can hold his ground. He actually can even rush the passer pretty well.
Like Wilfork when he wants to and when he's allowed to.
So I think there are a lot of good similarities there between the two. I still think he's a little bit raw, has you know, a little bit more that he could learn and get better on. But just from what I've seen, the little bit we've seen of him so far, I think the Wilfork comparisons are very spot on. And I would certainly see I could certainly see a 3-4 team, if they have a pick that high or try to get up that high, to get him to get him to base their front line there. So, yeah, he was impressive.
Next on the list is Pariah Jerry out of Mississippi. I really liked his film. I thought he was very good. He's smaller, 6'1"-ish, 290, so he's under 300 pounds there. Probably more of a 4-3 one-gap tackle. to shoot the gap and make plays there. But I think he has that ability. I think he has that athleticism in some of those Tampa 2 defenses that everybody remembers with Warren Sapp making a lot of plays. I think he could find a home in one of those and really contribute as a playmaker for a defense.
I liked his tape actually better than Raji's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that you're kind of looking for different things. He's going to flash more because of the type of player he is, whereas Raji is more of a two-gap, run-stuffing kind of guy.
Yeah.
Jerry is more of a playmaker. Evander Hood out of Missouri is next on the list.
Ziggy.
6'3", 298. I was just kind of, I think he could play 3-4 end, although he's a little short. For that position. And then another Boston College guy makes the list. 6'3", 329, Ron Brace, which is interesting. I didn't watch a lot of BC football, but I'm guessing not too many teams ran on those guys with, I don't know, some 665 pounds in the middle of that defense with Brace and Raji.
I was not too impressed with Brace's tape, though. I found his technique a little sloppy. He seemed to play a little bit lazy. Again, this is just from the limited amount of plays that we have available to us to see. But, you know, I mean, I can see, given his size and experience there, I can see why he's considered a top player at that position. But I was expecting a little bit more out of him being a top five projection here, but I was a little bit disappointed in what I saw.
Yeah, top five in terms of defensive tackles.
Right.
Yeah, he could be a second or a third round pick, depending on how it all shakes down. Another guy, Sendarek Marks out of Auburn, another 4-3 guy that I liked his tape, a playmaker, 6-1, 295, again, not real big, not a nose tackle type. I really thought he showed some nice things on tape. I did not like the next guy on our list, and you know, we use a lot of stuff from NFLDraftScout.com with our rankings, and Philly Moala, not so good with his name, 6'4", 303. I didn't like anything about him. I didn't think he had great hands. I thought he was one of those guys that leads with his body, and that's just a recipe for disaster because once the offensive linemen get to your body, you're dead. And if you don't have great hands, ask Bill Belichick, ask Anthony Pleasant, who was the guy who preached it here for years with the young guys. The hands is where it starts. These are 350-pound guys, but it starts with the hands, and no matter how big you are, if they can get to your body, they can control you. So I thought he was pretty dismal. Then as we move down the list, as always, I fell in love with somebody, Eric, as a potential Patriot.
Oh, let me guess. Terrence Taylor?
Terrence Taylor out of the University of Michigan. I had him flagged as a potential backup nose tackle, and I watched the tape, and you know what he is?
He's a potential backup nose tackle.
I really liked the tape I saw on him. He's a guy scheduled to be a fifth, sixth-round pick somewhere in the mid to latter part of the draft there, where you'd be looking for depth and specific needs to augment your roster. But 6'1", 314, I thought he holds his ground well with double teams. I thought he really moved and made some plays as well at his size. I just think he'd be a nice guy to get in the system and to develop.
Yeah, he definitely has some raw skills there that I think, like you said, developmental type player. You're not looking for him to come in and overtake a starting job right away. But, yeah, he's and you know what? The 314 seems a little bit low to me.
Yeah.
All these guys, seem like they could go a little bit heavier.
What's Will Fork listed at 50 pounds for that? And that's what he really is. So.
Yeah, but no, he was. I definitely saw similarities there as well, where he could. It's just one of those guys. Like it's just hard to move him. Mm-hmm. Even with the double team, he seems to just take the double team on, and he can shake one or two of them and get in the backfield and make a play.
That's what you got to do when you're playing in a two gap type system. You got to be able to control blockers and take them on. Another guy that I think would fit that mold, Texas, Roy Miller, 6'1", 310, obviously played for Muschamp last year. We know Bill Belichick has a lot of respect for him.
It's one of the things I wrote down.
Has some experience in the 3-4 because, you know, Arakpo talked about how they did.
They mixed it up a lot.
They played some 3-4, so my guess is he's played a little nose for them.
And he looked kind of fast for his size, too.
Yeah, 4'9", 40, definitely had a good motor and, you know, fight to make plays, not just eat up blockers, but do his job and then make plays. So he's an intriguing guy, I think. And
I think he's a guy to keep an eye on for this team as well because of what you said, the Muschamp connection. Bill's a very big fan of Will Muschamp, talks about how he's a fundamentals-type coach, likes to stress that, and you could kind of see that on Miller's tape. He had great size, too, and the speed to boot. So
okay,
I think he's a player.
He's a player. Either Terrence Taylor out of Michigan or Roy Miller out of Texas, potential would-be Patriots as defensive tackles on draft weekend. Anything else on the tackles before I move on to the ends?
I think we've sufficiently.
Then let's
gone
do it. We'll
that.
Move to the more exciting position. It gets more exciting as you move your way out.
Dessert
there.
Always is at the end.
Yes, defensive end, not just the end, but defensive end. Eric, where it's an interesting crop, as I said, because this is where you get into tweeners. Is he a defensive end? Is he an outside linebacker? Is he, you know, 4-3, 3-4? Mm-hmm. What can he do? Blah 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 blah. And we'll start at the top of the list. I fell in love with Brian Orakpo at the combine.
Sure did.
Talked to him. Liked the fact that he's played some 3-4. I think he's an intriguing prospect. He'll be long gone before the Patriots pick.
Sure.
Another guy that'll be long gone likely before the Patriots picked, I fell in love with his film. That's Everett Brown out of Florida State.
Yeah.
In my mind, the elite pass rusher in this draft, the elite edge guy.
Ridiculous speed.
More athletic, more speed than Orakpo.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I don't care what the different numbers may tell you. I think Everett Brown is going to be a star in the National Football
League. And not just the speed, but when a guy has that kind of speed and is relentless and aggressive, that's what I like to see. Brown never gives up on any play. There are some guys who have great talent, great speed, great athleticism, but they don't always use it. Brown looks like he's always using it. He's ferocious out there. I like to see
flat out playmaker.
Yep.
I like drafting playmakers to play in the edge.
And definitely see him as the outside in a 3-4.
Oh, certainly.
Easily.
You know, I think both those guys could play that position. I think but Everett Brown, I think, could be also a prototypical 4-3 end. He's 6'4", 252. Might have to bulk up a little bit.
Put on a few pounds, yeah.
But Orakpo, his build, you know, 6'4", 260, say, okay, he could probably play it. He just doesn't look it. To me, he looks a little bit more of the James Harrison outside linebacker, stocky build, athletic. I don't think he has that elite first step that a Jason Taylor or Dwight Freeney has as a down end there. So it'll be interesting to see how those two guys, first of all, where they land, what they're then asked to do. You know, I know the Browns are very interested, supposedly, in Orakpo. It'll be interesting to see where those guys end up and, you know, what they're asked to do in the NFL and if they can, you know, play in that role. Because there is some degree of transition pretty much no matter what they do on some level. Next in line is a much bigger-bodied guy out of LSU, 6'4", 295, Tyson Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He's an interesting guy because I think he could end up as a 3-4 defensive end, a Richard Seymour-type player. Maybe bulk up a little.
Yeah, he definitely has the size to be more of that mold.
I was a little wishy-washy on him, just kind of blah tape.
Yeah,
I wasn't overly impressed.
Well, after you look at Brown and Orakpo and the speed that they bring,
right,
there's a little bit of a drop-off with
fair
Jackson.
Because, you know, if I look at Richard Seymour and Jason Taylor, they both might be great, but they're different.
Exactly, and that's a good comparison, because Seymour, compared to Taylor, is going to be a lot slower.
Right.
And if you look at these other two guys first, and then you look at Jackson, but if you just look at Jackson on you know, in a vacuum, he's a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like I said, compared to the other two guys, there's a notable difference in speed, but he still is a playmaker, still has the size. I think you're right. 3-4 end probably makes sense for him given his size. Real quick, his teammate from LSU, Ricky Jean-Francois, who's listed as a D tackle, I had written down just as I'm thinking of it. He reminded me more of I thought he would be best suited as a defensive end.
Three,
and not a
end.
Tackle, as a 3-4 end,
mm-hmm.
Just given his size and his speed, what he can do. But that's just a little addendum to that.
Now we get into the group here of undersized guys that are definitely outside linebackers. And I think in that group, well, there's one question mark, and that's Aaron Maben out of Penn State. Unfortunately, for some reason, the film house we got our footage from does not have Aaron Maben on it, maybe because he came out after his redshirt sophomore year. I'm not sure, which is disappointing. But
yeah.
He's a guy that faces some questions because he's tried to bulk up. He's gotten over 250 now because there were some reports he was playing in like the 220s as a defensive end. Going to have to bulk up to play whatever, a defensive end, outside linebacker in the National Football League. Lost a little bit on his 40 time as he bulked up. So the concern there is that he's going to continue to try to bulk up and continue
and
to
lose,
get slower.
Lose speed, yeah.
You know, I think he's a guy that maybe got a little too bit ahead of himself, had a great year, made a lot of plays, and saw some money on the horizon and took it. Not sure that'll be great for his future.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't too impressed either when we talked to him at the combine. He didn't seem like he had it all together. You know, it looked like he was
coming together quickly. He's not mature.
Yeah, he's rushing into something that I think he's going to get a little over his head in, and you know,
who knows?
We'll see. But
great athlete. We'll find out later down the line if he can be a great football player in the NFL. Larry English and Michael Johnson, a couple guys next up on the list. English, very productive pass rusher. Clearly, in my mind, is going to be a linebacker in the NFL, even though he played with his hand down in college. I think he had something like 31 sacks over the last couple of years. Been questions about his 40 time because he ran a high four sevens, low 4.8s, which I guess was a little bit of a disappointment. But to me, the production, you just say the guy can play it. I know it's not an elite level in terms of Northern Illinois, but he's a guy that I'm intrigued by coming to the Patriots.
Yeah, there's flat-out speed and there's football speed. And I think when scouts are looking at him, they're going to look at the football speed. I don't think there's, you know, obviously there'll be a little bit of an eyebrow raised when they see a 4.7 at that position. But if you look at his tape, I think there's enough there to see that the guy can do what needs to be done at this level. So, definitely a name that I'd look out for when it gets to be around 20, 22, 23 when New England is picking. That's a name you might want to consider.
The only concern I do have, and not so much the transition, because, you know, I think a lot of these guys are athletic enough to make the transition. They need some experience, some chances to do it. The only thing I don't think he has, and I'm not sure you even need this, see Mike Vrabel. He doesn't have the elite quickness. He's not that shot out of a cannon kind of guy, that first step, which, again, could be a concern, but I still get back to the production. He functionally, whether it was at the Senior Bowl or in college, got the job done. Mm-hmm. Whoever the tackle was across from him, he had success against them. So,
and his Senior Bowl performance will be a big key for him because, like you said, Northern Illinois not exactly playing in a powerhouse league. But when he gets to play against, you know, his contemporaries who are supposed to be the best of the best, he showed up. So
another guy that's a riser, according to Mike Mayock at the Combine, I know anyways, Robert Ayers out of Tennessee, 6'3", 273. So a little bit of a tweener build there in terms of what he's going to be. I think he's probably a defensive end. I don't think he's a linebacker type.
I don't think so either. I was underwhelmed by his
tape. I didn't love what I saw from him. I think he lacks the quickness. That's one of these things that I think a lot of these guys lack is the quickness. The short, you know, two-step bursts in the tackle box there to make plays at the line of scrimmage and to beat blocks. I think that's a problem. And now, should I let you say it? You are madly in love with this man.
He can do it all, I'm telling you. Paul Kruger from Utah. He's aggressive. I know what you said. When you first saw his tape, you said you were a little underwhelmed as well. You were expecting a little bit more, probably.
Well, I think he's a good, solid football player.
I agree with that.
I don't think he's a guy that's going to make a lot of game-changing plays down the road. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be the centerpiece of a defense.
No.
But I think he could be a very solid contributor on a very good defense.
I agree with that, which is why I like him coming to this team, because I think he would fit in well in that regard. There's enough talent around him that he could do what he did at Utah. Utah was a great team. They were undefeated last year. He had a lot of talent around him there, too, so he was able to make plays.
Problem is,
he wasn't asked to do everything.
As a Patriot, am I getting him? If I get Julius Peppers or Jason Taylor, I'm okay with Paul Kruger.
Okay.
But if I get Paul Kruger, I'm not okay with Paul Kruger.
Just on the surface, just him?
Right now, this team needs somebody to step in and get to the quarterback, whether that's a veteran that they bring in now
or
whether that's a young player like Larry English. They need somebody that's going to put some pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think Paul Kruger's that guy. I think Paul Kruger, like Mike Vrabel, aside from his 12.5 sack season, was a 4.5, 5.5 sack type guy. Mm-hmm. I think Paul Kruger will be that, make some plays, force fumbles, play the run, all those things. But I'm not sold on him as a high pick. Luckily, he's probably going to be a second.
Probably
or third
a second round, but that's where I wouldn't expect them to take him with their 23 overall, but
or 34
with one of those second round picks.
58
I think,
maybe.
I think it's possible.
Next on the list, the true Mike Vrabel,
Connor Barwin,
wannabe Connor Barwin out of Cincinnati, 6'4", 253. Tight end, only played 1 year on defense, and that's why I'm scared of him.
Me too. I like his athleticism. Obviously, he looks exactly like Vrabel on tape. There's really no question about that.
He even catches it the same way. We had a tape that looked very similar. Vrabel had the great catch against Carolina in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
There was a clip on this tape of Connor Barwin of him making a catch in the end zone as a tight end coming across. Looked very similar, and it's an obvious comparison, but Mike Vrabel wasn't a high pick. He wasn't, you know, he's a guy that developed.
I think that's what you're going to get with him.
So
if someone takes Barwin, it may be a little bit of a stretch to get him that high.
Name recognition. He's been on a high here with fans.
Yeah.
And I think they're a little overexcited as to what Connor Barwin is and what you're going to get if you take him.
Well, like I said, I agree with you about being a little hesitant because of his lack of experience on defense. But if he can show the kind of progress he showed within the past year, then you've made the right move, but you're not going to know that for another couple of years.
Couple guys that I don't have a lot to say about, but Mitch King out of Iowa, I liked him at the combine. Very nice kid. I think he's a hard worker.
Very undersized.
Very undersized. Special teamer if he comes here, but, you know, the Kirk Ferentz connection, who knows? I think he'll be in the National Football League doing something because he's that Dan Klecko type, or he'll just do whatever they ask him, and he'll probably do a decent job at whatever they ask him to do. And your boy, Jerron Gilbert.
Yeah.
You want to tell a little story about him?
Yeah, he's the guy, if you go on YouTube and put his name in the search module there, you'll find...
J-A-R-R-O-N.
That's right,
Gilbert.
Two R's. Gilbert, common spelling.
San Jose State.
You'll find some pretty entertaining workout videos of his, one of which is, which kind of made him a household name, whereas he's in the shallow end of a pool, and he gets sort of squats down under the water level and jumps out of the pool up onto the ledge of the pool. Pretty impressive feat. I mean, it's...
I'd like to see you try it. I promise to call the ambulance when you're done.
I would have the ambulance there first, actually.
There's no chance.
There's no chance I'm going to...
I say you couldn't do it out of a dry pool. Forget the water.
How about a kiddie pool?
Probably not a kiddie pool either. But it is. It's a very interesting clip, and obviously that's why it's kind of grown a life of its own on the internet.
The other thing we have there is the San Jose State connection. New England practiced there twice this past season during their two week-long stays out in California. So there's a little familiarity with him, at least just... getting to know the players. He said at the combine, he told us that he got to talk to them a little bit when they were sharing the weight room there at Spartan Stadium's facilities. So he's at least known by name. How much scouting they've done on him, you know, we don't really know, but we know at least that he's on the radar. And, you know, with his YouTube fame, he certainly as someone whose name is familiar to a lot of people around the league.
Before we wrap this up, talking about familiar names or guys who don't have familiar names but come from schools with plenty of familiar names, Kyle Moore out of USC.
Yes.
I was very impressed with his tape. 6'5", 272. Obviously, he's not in the Maualuga or Brian Cushing mold where everybody knows who they are. I actually think he would be a nice late-round pick as a 3-4 developmental guy. 4'8", 140. Decent athleticism, decent size. You know he was great in high school because that's how he ended up at USC. Everybody except Clay Matthews gets there that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'd be an intriguing guy as a late-round pick.
You're scaring me, Andy, because we're agreeing on almost all of these prospects.
It's far scarier for me than it is for you.
I had a star next to his name, and I thought his instincts were great. He always seemed to be around the ball. Even if he wasn't the main guy on the play, he always seemed to get in there. And like you said, he played at USC. That tells you something about his talent. I just, if it comes down to a guy from USC and some other school, I'm going to go
take
with the guy
USC
from USC.
Guy. He did something to get to USC.
Exactly.
Now the rest of my list was some guy who was somewhere between 6'4 and 6'6, around 260 pounds, and caused me to write the words JAG on my paper because
just
there are
a guy.
A lot of JAG defensive linemen, defensive ends in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of them will get drafted. I want no part of most of them. They'll be in the league a year or two, and then they'll be out of the league. Papers like Patriots Football Weekly will write nice summer training camp features on them, and you'll never hear from them again.
What did you think? I love the name. What did you think of Penel Egbo from Stanford?
He was a decent college athlete. Not a linebacker. 3-4 defensive end.
Mm.
Not very quick or athletic enough.
Right.
Although he does have a 4.940, but I didn't think he played as fast as his numbers. You just like him because he's a smart guy.
And the name kind of stuck out, too.
Okay, so do we have a defensive end that you're willing to say will be a New England Patriot come April 25th?
Ooh, it's a tough question.
Or outside linebacker, who's on this list?
On this list, if I'm going to go with Larry English.
Okay,
on
Larry
the top
English.
End.
And I like it.
On the low end, later rounds, I like Kyle Moore from USC.
Okay.
I think that's a possibility.
I more or less agree with those picks. That's going to do it for this edition of the Patriots.com. Prospect preview podcast or review, whatever we call them here.
Next week, we've got the other side of the trenches.
Offensive line. The exciting one. Tackles, guards, and centers. There's a lot to get to there,
but
we'll be there to break it down. Guys like Eugene Moreau and all the different Smiths that play tackle, the good ones like Jason, the bad ones like Andre. We'll break them all down next Wednesday when we're back here on Patriots.com.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.